Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Welcome to Trumpet Radio Live here. This is Thursday, August the 18th. A lot on today's program to talk about. You can't say man, so says Princeton. Costs are going up and down in the U.S. Walmart is becoming a hotbed of criminal activity, surprisingly. What are the most unfriendly U.S. cities? We have a list for you. And the age of the internet troll. Whose fault is it? We'll talk about that. And Michael Jordan does some awesome things. All on the way, this edition of Trumpet Radio Live.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us today. 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm. Live link at thetrumpet.com as well. And you can follow us on the iTunes app. Also, listen to us there if you'd like to do that. Or get our podcast there, rather, at iTunes. The TuneIn app. I got my tunes mixed up. Too many tunes.
So many platforms out there.
It's hard. Yeah, it is hard to keep it all straight these days. Dwight Falk and Grant Turgeon with you here today. A lot to talk about on today's program, as we mentioned in our intro there. And that's a new intro. I hope you like it.
I'm absolutely fired up for the show now.
Good. Yeah. Get you pumped up. Get you going. lots of interesting headlines we'll get to in the Key of David program and the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Preview those as well. This is the first one today from the realm of the absurd. Princeton. If you want to go to Princeton University, which is a very prestigious university, their human rights department says you can't use the word man.
Ever? For any reason at all?
Apparently not. They prefer you don't.
That's terrible.
So they have a list, though, of things you can say, which is kind of interesting. It's really small text. So I'm trying to read it here. They don't want you to use average man. They want you to say average person or ordinary person. They don't want you to say best man for the job. They want you to say best person for the job. Can't say lay man. You can say lay person or a non-specialist.
I see.
I don't want to be called a non-specialist. That's rude.
That's way worse than being called an average man.
Yeah, no kidding. If you use they don't want you to use the word man when referring to humanity. They want you to use human beings, humanity, humans, individuals, or people. You can't say man and wife. You have to say spouses and partners. You can't say man hours. You have to say person hours.
Oh, wow.
Or work hours. Mankind has to be humankind. Man-made has to be artificial, handmade, manufactured, or synthetic. Manpower has to be workers, workforce, staff, or personnel. To man has to be to operate or to staff. And workmanlike has to be skillful.
That's just part of the bogus push for gender equality, I think. The rush to just avoid offending anyone.
Yeah, it's interesting. They actually have this list here, so pretty difficult to keep that in mind, I guess. You don't want to tick anybody off. I've got a book here. This is pretty interesting. It's called The Phrase Finder. It's an oldie but a goodie. 1953. I picked it up for a dollar at the bookstore. And they have a section of sophisticated synonyms, which for those not familiar with a synonym, it's a word or phrase that means nearly the same as another word or phrase. So it's basically the same thing. So I looked up man here. I wanted to see what they had to say for man. A few other ones. We could use homo sapien. We could use chap. We could use a young sprig. 1953, keep in mind. We could use some human carbuncle. We could use other ones, such as these customs johnnies. I'm not sure what that means. I hope none of these are inappropriate. But these are synonyms for our four man.
At least it's done in ignorance if it is inappropriate.
Yeah. So you could use this walrus. That's also apparently a synonym. The man in the street, but that one has man in it, so you couldn't use that one. I don't know why this one is in here, but it's a punk named Anderson.
So specific.
Yeah, very specific on that one. A good-looking goof. I've often been called that. This old goat might be disrespectful to somebody. I'm not sure. And yeah, that's about it. They had some other ones that are interesting as well. But those are some of the sophisticated synonyms if you want to use man. You don't want to say the word man, but you want to get the point across.
Seems like a lot of the alternatives involve just calling you an animal, as if that's better than calling yourself a man.
It's really interesting. So I might send that list over to Princeton, see what they think, if they like the ones from my phrase finder book.
Maybe we call men a punk named Anderson?
About that one. Instead of a man hours, it's a punk named Anderson hours. I have to look that up later and find out why that is a phrase. I hope it's not too bad. Those are some of the names that you can use, I guess. The Washington Post has this headline today: "The stuff we really need is getting more expensive. Other stuff is getting cheaper." So here in the U.S., prices are changing. Sociologist Joseph Cohen of Queen's University is fond of saying that America is a place where luxuries are cheap and necessities costly, which is kind of interesting. I hadn't thought of that.
Well, I think here we're actually a lot more likely to replace necessities with luxuries, however damaging that might be. So it does kind of make sense in that way.
Yeah, that's true. There's a recent chart here from economist Mark Perry of the American Enterprise Institute using data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. They're comparing 1996 to today, 2016. And the things that have gotten a lot more expensive include textbooks, college tuition, child care, health care, food and beverage, and housing. Those have all shot up pretty drastically. The things that have gone down in price, inflation adjusted, of course, new cars, household furnishings, clothing, cell phone service, software, toys, and TVs are actually the lowest in terms of what they were back in 96 to today. So a lot of those are more on the luxury side. It's interesting to look at that chart.
Yeah, if you think about the average person, are they going to be more likely to buy a textbook or a video game console? It just kind of shows you, people are buying the consoles so much, you might as well just keep it low like that.
So if you need to get some of these, I guess they consider them to be... Well, it's funny, they have cell phone service down there. Maybe that's gotten lower. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it.
Well, they just attach all these fancy data packages now, so that's why it's so expensive. So you can have internet wherever you go at all times without a single break.
It's a must-have.
Yeah.
But we do like it for the TuneIn app for KPCG. A lot of people like that. There are pros, for sure. But so... The prices have changed there somewhat, depending on what you're looking for. Interesting in relation to Walmart, it seems like there's a lot of web pages out there for something titled like "You won't believe what I saw at Walmart," because it's such a hotbed of strange activity at times. But now they're saying there's actually a lot of crime going on at Walmart as well. This is from the Business Insider. Police departments are furious at Walmart for a policy that has made it a dangerous place to shop. They say more than 200 violent crimes have been committed so far this year at Walmart locations across the U.S., about one per day. So pretty serious. This is according to a Bloomberg article. They say that a company policy is to blame, and they say it's because they have less employees. And so because there's less employees, people feel free to try to shoplift, steal, kidnap, a whole list of things.
Yeah, and also Walmarts are open all night, a lot of them, and we have one not too far away from the campus here. I always see some shady characters out in that parking lot late at night. Like, I get pretty scared when I'm there so late.
Yeah, you have to be careful for sure. Almost any store you go to if it's late at night, because there's just not a lot of people around. But they've replaced a lot of the employees with the self-checkout, so that's been one area where there's less employees. They're not spending as much on security, except for that case where that guy tried to fight the monkey the other day at Walmart. I don't know if he was security, but he did try to go after the monkey.
Probably just a poor 80-year-old greeter.
Well, they said they've even gotten rid of some of the greeters as well. And so they're doing this because obviously the less people they can pay, the more money they make. But it is opening up situations where there is more crime. And it is interesting. You go to some of these stores, and most all of them now have a self-checkout. And sometimes there's somebody kind of hanging about to either help or just watch you. But There's a lot of people going through there, and I just wonder how careful they are about watching people just taking stuff.
Those things are just really questionable to me. I mean, how hard would it be to just maybe quickly rip off the barcode of an item? I don't think it's going to set off alarms when you leave a store and there's no barcode on it at all.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation that they have there with those, and we're getting to see more and more of them, those self-checkouts. They're convenient. Mm-hmm. I like them when they work, which they usually do, but at the same time, it is leading to a bigger chance of people committing some crimes. We had a funny situation the other day. We were at a store, and we were checking out, my wife and I, and we had a shopping cart, and this lady was walking around, and she comes up and grabs it, and she's like, "Get done with this." And we really didn't have a chance to even say anything, and she just took it and left. There's a whole bunch of them. But they were a little further than where she wanted to go. So we had to carry our bags out.
Wow.
Thanks for nothing.
At least you were nice enough to just let her take it, I guess.
Yeah, well, it was. I think we were confused more than anything.
Just so shocking, you can't even react to it.
She just took the cart. She needed it, apparently, so... Not that big of a deal, I guess, but it's just one of those things that are kind of interesting. You do see less employees at those stores because people are trying to get more profit. And even today, one of the big headlines is that Uber is thinking about getting rid of people.
Right. Self-driving
cars. Self-driving cars. Does anyone else feel nervous about that?
That just sounds really dangerous.
I'm going to get into this robot car and hope it gets me where I need to go.
Hope it doesn't glitch in the middle of the road.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you'd hate to be that guy where they're like, "Oh, 99 times out of 100, this works perfectly." But there is that one death. I'm not comfortable with the self-driving vehicles. I want to go back to the rickshaw.
Yeah, let's just take it easy with all this. I'm trying to get rid of all the human jobs.
I don't know. Yeah, eventually people won't need them because they won't be employed, so the cars will be driving each other around. It's some reason it seems like it is a fear of older people that robots are going to replace everything. And for a while, that kind of seemed humorous. But now there
it
are
really
actually,
is happening.
Yeah, there are a lot of robots out there doing things. They have a list out here of the most unfriendly U.S. cities. And thankfully for us, Oklahoma City did not make the top. They have the top six. We did not make that. Most of these are on the, well, not all of them, but I guess the majority of them are over on the East Coast. Four out of the...
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So probably because there's lots of people, and the more people you have, the more agitation that occurs sometimes. Number six, they say, is New Haven, Connecticut. The city of New Haven, beyond the ivy-covered walls, seemed tired and spiritless, they said, according to one reader. And no offense to these cities, because we do have listeners there. This is just their report. They say it is a refrain we hear often that there isn't much to see in New Haven beyond the University of Yale. And the contrast between the academic wealth and local poverty is poignant, they say. But this year, we were happy to hear our readers trumpet the great restaurants in the city, particularly on Wooster Street, home to some of the best pizza in the U.S. So you've got good pizza there, but apparently people are a little bit unfriendly.
Oh, so the people are unfriendly. It's not just saying it's unwelcoming for a tourist, maybe?
Yeah, I think it is. Well, it's probably a combination of all of those things.
Okay.
Number five is Hartford, Connecticut. They're in competition, apparently. Connecticut's, they say, forgettable state capital shuts down at night and is considered dreary, especially when it rains or snows. It definitely needs a facelift, they say. So I suppose it would kind of tie in if the city is kind of unwelcoming just as an overall entity. The people are probably a little bit, could be a little bit on the downside as well. So number four, Detroit, Michigan, probably not a big surprise because they've just had so many problems there with the industry of automobile making. They say, we have a feeling Motor City won't be long on this list. That's hopeful. Mm. While some people say the city was still facing hard times, others reinforce the notion that Detroit's coming out of the bad times and really has a lot to offer, both in the city and in the surrounding suburbs. So they think that it's on the rise, but who knows? They've had a hard few years there with the automobile industry. There's really some interesting videos online about, they'll show you parts of Detroit from the heyday, and then they'll show it to you today. And it's amazing how different it is.
And it's also amazing how cheap you could buy a house downtown now, because a lot of them are trash, so they'd obviously be fixer-uppers, but a couple thousand bucks could get you a house there.
Right. And then the biggest problem is with those is that if you're the one neighbor on the street that has the decent house, and everyone else is, you know, it's dilapidated, and there are other problems. Of course, they had the water problem in Flint, so there are some issues up there. But number three, they say Atlantic City, New Jersey. They've been hit some hard times, I guess, as well. They say Atlantic City is a shame, according to one reader. It is not safe to leave the boardwalk. The beach is okay, but there are so many beautiful beaches along the coast that Atlantic City is not outstanding. It could be a boon to New Jersey if the surrounding areas could be cleaned up. They say it's a strange, split-personality town, an odd mix of grinding poverty and over-the-top, conspicuous consumption. Sounds like Las Vegas. The promise of casino-funded urban renewal never really materialized.
So it just kind of sounds like it's a facade there. It's kind of glamorous on the surface, but it's just hiding a lot of problems.
Yeah, and a lot of times they, you know, that's one of the things that they use to push some of the gambling, is that the tax money and the revenue will go back into the cities and the schools and so forth, but don't know how successful it's been. Apparently in Atlantic City, it hasn't been all that successful. Number two on this list of the most unfriendly U.S. cities is Oakland, California. That's because the Golden State Warriors. It's because Kevin Durant went over there.
Yeah, I blame that. Yeah, I understand that totally.
The main reason. they say the East Bay City retains its number two position, with one reader simply stating, "Some parts of the city are scary." That's just about every major city, isn't it?
Yeah.
There are some scary parts. But more readers thought that Oakland is starting to renew itself, new eateries popping up and so forth. So they have... That's probably the way it is in every city. You've got a couple areas that are kind of neat, but then some areas where you do not want to go.
That's true, yeah. Maybe we should blame the Oakland Raiders a little bit more. They have some terrifying fans.
They do.
They got the black hole in their stadium.
Yeah. There's that guy. I mean, these people that dress up for those games, it's like a it's part of their life. Yeah. There's a guy that dresses up like Darth Vader every time. Then there's the guy with the spiked shoulder pads.
And the silver face.
The silver face.
Everything.
Yeah. I saw a video on them. They were going through and talking about like their lives kind of revolve around that.
Right. You know, I think I saw that too.
Yeah,
right.
They need to get there and they need to support their team, even though they constantly lose. But if you were if you were playing them and you were on the opposing team, it would be scary to look down there and see all those terrifying people. I remember when I was younger, I was a kid, and I used to watch some of their games on TV, and you'd see the fans. It was terrifying.
Yeah.
And now I realize, oh, that's just some dude dressed up like Darth Vader. But as a kid, that's pretty scary.
Yeah, I've been watching the Buffalo Bills for 13 years now, and they're always normally pretty bad, but they're by far even worse when they go to Oakland. And I really do think they're just scared of the fans there.
That's what the fans are hoping. They always, you always hope that you have some impact on the game.
I think they do. Yeah.
So. There's somebody that we both know mutually who I will not name, but he's still convinced that he got one of the Thunder coaches fired by starting an anti chant against one of the coaches, P.J. Carlissimo.
Oh, wow.
So he's still convinced of that.
Thinks a chant got it done, huh?
Yeah, he thinks he started it, so who knows? Could be. You never know. People, but fans do like to feel like they have some sway when it comes to
I didn't think he was a bad coach at all either. I mean, he didn't have any talent to work with that first year.
Yeah, he never will live down the infamy of being choked by Latrell Sprewell.
Right.
That's when I think of him, I just think of him being choked by Latrell.
How disrespectful is that?
Yeah, it's
bad. Had a gall to choke your own coach.
That's an unfriendly action.
Maybe he's from Oakland.
Maybe. Actually, he was playing for Golden State when that happened. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Good point.
The number one most unfriendly U.S. city, according to this list, is also in New Jersey, Newark. They say, alas, Newark takes a top spot again. So, apparently, they've been there for a while. This was one of the saddest-looking cities I've ever seen, said one reader. Another said it was a business necessity, extreme traffic, poor signage. He says, I often stay in Newark and dine in Hoboken. Doesn't anyone ever go to the Ironbound District or anywhere other than the airport? Those looking on the bright side will tell you to head there, along with the New Jersey Performing Arts Center and the Prudential Center. Newark has its bright spots, too. So they're trying to highlight some of the positives about the cities, but some really bad spots that people want to stay out of. It's bad when people fly into town and they say, well, I'm just going to stay at the airport.
I've actually heard people making a stopover in Newark sort of sounding depressed about it. I don't know why. I've never been there, but there are a lot of attractions nearby that you would think might make it worth it.
One of the saddest things to me is what they call dead malls. where you go to a mall and it's completely closed except there's maybe three stores open. Mm-hmm. And you just, it's very surreal, and you look around like, what is this place? And I've been to a few of those. There's actually, I think, a couple of websites dedicated to dead malls of America.
Right, yeah.
And so depressing. It is very depressing. I'd hate to be that one store still there, you know, the two stores.
Yeah.
It's always something strange, too. It's like Jamba Juice or something. Everything else is shut
down. Doesn't
matter
how bad the economy is, Jamba Juice will survive.
Jamba Juice will survive, yeah. That was actually, I was in Houston one time, and they had a building out there that was a Jamba Juice on one side and a Starbucks on the other. And I'm like, this is paradise.
That is.
What else do you need? We could live here.
I'm surprised I never thought of that before.
It's the only time I've seen it. And I thought it was a great idea. Jamba Juice in the morning, Starbucks in the afternoon, or vice versa. Whatever you like. Lots of choices.
There are no rules, really.
No rules. The Key of David program's coming up here in a bit on KPCG. Make sure you listen for that program today, two segments every day, and always important to listen to. You can find the videos online at thetrumpet.com, and the audio is online at kpcg.fm. So a couple of places you can go there to see those programs or listen to the audio. We'll have a couple coming up here in just a minute. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show today with your host Stephen Fleury from Edstone, England. Talking a little bit today about being a cultured individual. Winston Churchill was a well-rounded and cultured individual. He took up painting at the age of 41, which is pretty old to get started on something like that. But he became pretty good.
I heard he maybe painted several hundred paintings as well, so he really did get into it.
I imagine it was a good stress reliever for him because he was under a lot of pressure, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he had a lot of critics. I mean, even after he saved the country during World War II, they voted him out pretty quickly. So he had a lot of people who were against him, and that probably did help him relax.
And so a show talking about being cultured and working on becoming more cultured. And the question is posed, do our thoughts and activities go toward a positive or a negative direction? And as is pointed out by Stephen Fleury on the program, it could be somewhat frustrating if you look at every area of your life and try to improve it all at once. But if you pick one thing and kind of really work on it, then you can start to make some headway. And, you know, you go to a bookstore or anywhere, go online, the self-help sections are probably the biggest. Mm-hmm. Because everybody wants to improve. They want to become better at something. And there's no lack of information out there, some good, some bad, about ways people are trying to improve. But I can't help but think it's not successful because the section wouldn't have to be so big if it was. You could just have one book. Everybody would use it.
That's very true. And if you think about it, most of our probably leisure time is just spent thinking of ways we can improve. I mean, even when we watch a movie and see a superhero, it's like, man, that guy is a hero. He's saving people. I wish I could save people. You know, if you see a great athlete, you say, you know, I think I could apply some of his characteristics. It's always kind of getting back to how can I apply this in my own life.
Yeah, those are the things that really get people's interest and attention. So it's a really good program today. It talks about some of that. In relation, this is an interesting headline from CNN.com. They say, are music and happiness linked? They're studying into music and how it affects people. Of course, we have Music for Life here on KPCG, along with just some music we play throughout the day. And researchers at Deakin University in Victoria analyzed 1,000 interviewees with randomly chosen Australian citizens to see if there was a connection between their self-reported music consumption and happiness levels. So this was done in Australia, but I think you could probably say it's something that all of mankind could apply, but I can't say man anymore. Humanoid kind?
All of the, what's it, the punks named Andersons could apply?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but probably true for everyone as far as the music is concerned. And they found in the study that people that actively engaged with music through dancing and attending events like concerts and musicals reported a higher level of well-being, a scientific way of saying they were happier people.
That makes sense. Yeah, I think a lot of those, it depends on how cultured the music is a lot of the time. And if you can develop a deeper appreciation for music through it, it's better than a lot of things I can think of, a lot of other types of music.
Yeah, and of course, it depends on what type you're listening to as well. And I think they even talked about that a little bit in the report. They didn't get too specific, but there are some events you could go to that you probably wouldn't feel better coming out of. But in most cases, when people are going to music activities and they're engaged with it, and that was a big part of what they were talking about, actively engaged.
Yeah.
They were happier people. And so that, I think, ties into the Trumpet Daily radio show with your host, Stephen Fleury. That's coming up in just a bit here on KPCG. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, talk about what's going on with the internet trolls. We'll do that right after this.
We'll be right back to Trumpet Radio Live.